Father, we just ask that you would speak your message to us right now. Lord, thank you for it. Lord, please get me out of the way. And Lord Jesus, let us hear your voice. Speak to each of our hearts. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, may we take it, receive it, and obey it. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you love me, give. Give. That's what we want to look at today. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And we've been looking at that verse over these last week and over the coming weeks. We're looking at a few of the things that he commands. I know each of us here wants to express our love to him. We want to say, Jesus, I love you. And the way he equates that, the way we can show that is by our obedience. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so last week we looked at his call to grow. We looked at how God says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God commands us to grow. And so we looked at that. If we love Jesus, God in the flesh, we will obey what he commands. So we need to grow. We need to heed that command. And today, we want to look at give. If you love me, obey. You'll obey what I command. Let's look at his call to give, how God tells us to give, to be givers, not takers. So let's turn together to Malachi chapter 3. And let's zone in on verses 6 through 12. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible there in your chair. And you can just get that. And that's in the Old Testament, but it's the last book in the Old Testament. And so really, if you open your Bible to about the last third of the Bible, that's the New Testament, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just back up one from Matthew. You'll see Malachi. Let's look at chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And God is confronting his people here. His people, Israel, they're doing something wrong. And he's calling them out on it. He's confronting them on it. And he says that we'll look at here in just a little bit. He says that you're robbing me. He tells his people, you're robbing me. But let's look at what he says to them. Let's look at verses 6 through 12. It says this. God says in his word this, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. If you love me, give. Let's notice, first of all, that he has love and mercy. That God has love and mercy that he always expresses toward us. He loves us and he gives us his grace and his mercy continually. He has love and mercy. Look at verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Here, his people have disobeyed him. But he says, I don't change. In other words, I'm not going to break my covenant with you. We still have the covenant. I'm the same. I keep that covenant. I keep my covenant with you. I'm not breaking that. And that's his grace and his mercy. Even though they've sinned, even though they're messing up, he says, nothing will change that. I've got this covenant with you. And he says, and you are not destroyed. Though that's what our sins deserve. The Bible says, the soul that sins, it shall die. That's the penalty for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it means eternal death, separation from God forever. But yet, he's not going to give that, even though we've sinned. And the Bible says we're all guilty of it too. All of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you are not destroyed. You're still sitting here. You've sinned just as much as I have. And you're still sitting here. You're not destroyed. That's his mercy. That's his grace. Matter of fact, his grace is, even though you and I have sinned, he has given us through Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in him, he's given us. He's not only given us his mercy and removed the curse and the death penalty of sin, and we not only don't get what we deserve, death and hell, and he's removed that and he paid it himself. If your faith's in Christ and that applies to you, all your sins are removed and as far away from you as the east is from the west, even the ones you hadn't done yet, he's removed it all, and that's his mercy. And then he's even given you his grace, and just blessing after blessing, when we should be destroyed. We should just all be, but you're still here, I'm still here. We're not destroyed. That is God's grace and his mercy. He has love and mercy toward you and toward me. So always know that. When you look at any way that you've sinned here right now or recently or something that you're struggling with right now in your life, always know God has grace and mercy available for you. And if you've repented of your sins, you put your faith in it, you're his child forever. That covenant's not breaking. You're his child. That's forever. He holds you. You don't hold him. He's got you. Read John chapter 10. Jesus said, nobody can take those out of my hand that the Father has given me. And so know that even if you've messed up in whatever area, and maybe it's the area of giving, maybe you're hearing all about this tithing, and what is that? To give the first tenth of your income, whatever you bring in, the Lord blesses you with through your work or whatever, is to give that, the first tenth goes to him, goes to the Lord on your gross, not after the taxes and all that. What you made, all the first tenth of it, before you even pay taxes. Taxes are next. You give to the Lord first. But anyway, but maybe you've even fallen down there and you said, man, I'm not doing that. I hadn't done that. Know that he has love and mercy. But next, let's examine ourselves. How have you disobeyed? Let's look at that. Look at verse 7a. He says this, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So God confronts his people and he says, ever since your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees, you have not kept them. My commands, what I want, what I desire, what I'm telling you, ever since then, you haven't kept them. You've disobeyed. Well, what about you? What about me? How have you disobeyed? Now, he's about to confront them on this issue of tithing and their tithes and their offerings. But it might not be that for you today. It might be that for you today. But it might be something else. How have you disobeyed him today? What is it in your life that he's got his finger on and he keeps pointing out? He keeps saying, get this out of your life. What are you doing? Change. Repent. What is it? What's he telling you right now? How have you disobeyed? Well, when he identifies that, maybe it's the giving. Maybe you haven't been given that tenth. Maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, maybe it's a number of things he's pointing out. Whatever it is, here's what to do. Return to him. Return to him. Look at 7b. So he said, you haven't kept my decrees. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. That's all you got to do. Return to him. Well, what does that mean? It's repent. It means you've been going the wrong way in those areas. Whatever it is that you've been disobeying him in, you've been going your way. You've been going that way. And he says, return to me. He's back over here. He's been telling you, go this way. Uh-uh, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act like that. Don't have that kind of attitude. Don't have that relationship with her is messed up. You better fix that. You know, I don't know what he's telling you. But as long as we're going this way, he's saying, return to me. Turn around, repent. Turn to him. Go his way. Say, you're right, Lord. I'm sorry. Help me. I need your help to do it. I can't do it. I need your help. Return to him. Next, how are you to return to him? How are you to return to him? There again, look at the second part of verse 7. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? How are we to return? That's worth asking of yourself. It's worth each of us asking. How are you to return to him? In what area of your life, what's the disobedience that he's after you about, that he's talking to you about? What is it? It might be the giving, it might be the tithing. It might be something else. But what is it that he's got his finger on for you? What's he telling you in your spirit? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? How are you to return to him? It could be a number of different ways. Listen to his voice. Next, have you robbed him? Have you robbed him? Look at verse 8. They ask the question of themselves in verse 7. But you ask, well, they ask, how are we to return? And then God tells them in verse 8, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. And so God points out to them their disobedience. They're saying, here's what it is for you. It's your tithes and offerings. You're robbing me. You're taking what's mine. The first tenth is mine. I've entrusted you with all these things. And the first tenth, off the top, just like somebody, might have been Lance, so beautifully put it, like Abel, not Cain, out of your love for me, you just want to give something to me. We give to the ones we love. We give gifts to the ones we love. We express our love through giving. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart is just as important as the giving. Don't just give a tenth saying, oh, man, well, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills now. And, you know, well, I did it, Lord. That's not love. He looks at the heart, too. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves you to be like Abel and to say, God, I want to give you my best. I want to give you my best, so whatever you give me, I'm just going to take this first tenth, and that's yours, Lord. That's yours before anything, because I love you. Because I love you. And he says to them, you all have robbed me. You've held back what's mine. You've taken what's not yours. You've kept that. Or some of it. I don't know. I don't know what they had been doing. Some or all or in a minute, he's going to say, bring the whole tithe. So maybe some of them were just robbing him with some of it, just not giving a full tenth. Just whatever. Maybe it was the taxes. I don't know. But have you robbed him? Have you robbed him? Let's look beyond financially. Yes, look at the tithes and offerings. He's pointing that out right here. Yeah, examine your own life. Definitely, right now, say, Lord, have I robbed you? Have I been given that tenth? Have I robbed you? Yes. Examine yourself. But hey, have you robbed him in any way? What's the disobedience he's pointed out in your life? What have you taken that's his? Maybe it's your time. Maybe you've robbed him of time. You see, he's entrusted you with a certain amount of time. You don't know how many days. You don't know how many hours. You don't know how many minutes. But he's entrusted you with a certain amount. But it's his time. And maybe you've used it for yourself. Maybe you've used it in your own ways for yourself. Maybe you've misused his time that he's entrusted you with. And then you robbed him of what he wanted you to do. Maybe for these 3 hours, he wanted this, and he gave you those 3 hours for this, but you did this. You've robbed him. Maybe it's your talents. Maybe you've just used your talents for yourself. Those are his talents. Those are his, not yours. He's entrusted them to you. Matthew 25 says he just wants you to be a good manager of all these things. And then invest them and use them for his glory so he gets a great return on all of his stuff, those talents he's entrusted you with. He wants you to use them and invest them for his glory, for his purposes, how he wants you to use them. But maybe you've taken those talents, you've just used them on yourself for you, and, well, you've robbed him. That was for him. It's for his glory. You've taken what's his. How have you robbed him? And next, you are under a curse, is what he tells them in verse 9. Backing up a little, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. They're under a curse. What's going on? Things aren't going to go good. You're going to have the opposite of blessing. The crops are going to fail. The rain's not going to come. The air conditioner is going to break. The car is going to break. I don't know how it's going to play out. But he says, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you've been robbing me. I'm not going to bless you. It's the opposite. I was talking to a friend of mine, Alan Cross. You may know he's the pastor at Gateway Baptist. We were talking yesterday, and our sons were somewhere together. And we were talking about some of this. I was sharing some of this with him. And he made a good point. You know, since Jesus has taken our curse, he's taken the curse. So we're not really cursed today. Jesus took the curse for all sin for us. And when we believe, we're his and that curse is gone. But we're disciplined. Pretty much the same thing. So when we disobey, same thing. It's like we're cursed. We're disciplined for our disobedience as a believer. And if you're his child, that's a good thing. He disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those who are his children. So when we're disobedient, watch out. If the air conditioner's breaking, look into everything. Don't just assume it happened. Check your life. Are you under a curse or are you under discipline? Have you been robbing him in some way? Well, what does he say? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Or whatever it is. Maybe you're doing fine in the tithe area. You've been bringing the tithe into the storehouse for as long as you can remember. But what's that other area you're robbing him in? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, or whatever it is. Bring whatever you've been keeping from the Lord or messing up. Bring it all into the storehouse, the whole thing. And if it's the tithe in for you, if it's that first tenth, how do you figure it out? It's real simple. Let's say I cut a lawn and I got paid $50. Whatever your income is, it's real simple. You take that 50 and you got 50 point, no change, 50.00. Well, how do I know? What's the first tenth that's yours, Lord? You just take that little point, you move it one to the left. Now you got $5.05. I'm going to give that first $5. Lord, that's yours after cutting this lawn. But bring the whole tithe, not $3, not $4, not $4.50, not $4.99. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's what he tells us in 10a. Look at it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And he said, bring the whole tithe, that there may be food in my house. You know, this is how God funds his church, our tithes and offer. You know, that's how does the church make it? How do we do ministry? How is the staff paid? How is the how can we afford to buy all this Sunday school literature? And how can we afford to head out and make disciples? And that's how he funds his church. That's what he does. In the Old Testament, I was reading an article from Crown Ministry, and that's, if you've ever heard of Larry Burkett, I loved Larry, the late Larry Burkett. This was from an article from his ministry. And it said this, in the Old Testament book of Malachi, we're told that God wants us to direct our entire tithe into the storehouse. A storehouse in the Old Testament had four functions. It was used to feed these. It was used to feed the tribe of Levi and the priests of Aaron. Those were the religious workers, the prophets, the Hebrew widows and orphans living within the city, and the widows and orphans of the Gentiles who were living in and around the Hebrew city. However, the equivalent of the Old Testament storehouse, what we're just looking at, in the New Testament, as well as in our present-day society, is the local church. God's Word tells us to bring our tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3:10. When we obey Him and pay our tithes to the church, God holds the leaders of the church responsible for the distribution of the tithes. Nehemiah 12 talks about that in 13. If we associate the functions of the Old Testament storehouse with the New Testament and current local church, its fourfold function would be to provide for the needs of the pastor and staff, missionaries and evangelists, widows and orphans, single parents, invalids, and the local church, and the unsaved who surround the local church. So you see the Old Testament and the New Testament? God's ways for His tithe, but it's how He funds the church. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, that the church may be provided for. He can use His church for whatever He wants to use it for. And finally, test Him and see the blessings. Test Him and see the blessings. That's what we see in the last part of verse 10 through 12. He tells them, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Test Him in this and see the blessings. Test Him with your time. Maybe you've been holding your time back from Him. Test Him in it and give it all to Him. Give it all to Him. Maybe you've been holding back your talents or whatever. Test Him in this and give it all to Him. Stop robbing Him. Maybe you've been holding back your tithes and your offerings. Test Him in this. And see, will He not bless you? Will He not bless you? I want to challenge you this next week, that if you haven't been tithing or this is new to you, and you hear God's call on your heart, and you want to test Him in this, and you want to obey Him, I want to challenge you to bring that tithe next week. I want to challenge you to whatever period you want to look at, if you want to do it for a month's income or for next week's income or whatever, maybe that'd be a good idea. However much you estimate that you make in a week, I want to challenge you to do what He says, to test Him in this, and to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And if it's something else that He's telling you about, bring it. Bring the whole thing to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for Your call. Lord, thank You for the blessing of giving. Lord, thank You for calling us to do this, and that we have a tangible way that we can show our faith in you through giving, through tithing. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of obedience to you. Thank you for how you've blessed me and my family, Lord, as we've obeyed you. And Lord, I pray that you would burden all of our hearts to obey you in this and anything else that you're telling us. Help us to obey you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Chris is going to lead us in a song. And maybe your greatest need is to give your whole life to Jesus. Maybe your greatest need is to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, knowing what He did for you on the cross, that He paid for all those sins, that the curse is gone if you receive it, if you obey Him and you trust Him. Maybe that's you today. You're saying, Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner and you died for me, and I believe you paid for my sins, you're raised from the dead, and I'm giving my life to you. I want to follow you. I trust you to save me from my sins. Save me, Jesus. Come into my life. Maybe that's you today. When Chris leads us in this song, if that's the decision you're making, you come and share that. We want to rejoice with you and pray with you about that. Maybe there's something else. Maybe God's put His finger on some area of disobedience. Maybe it's tithing, and you want to get that right. You can come to the altar and pray if you want to, or you can pray at your seat about it. But obey Him. Do whatever He's telling you to do. Maybe He's telling you to join this church. You can do that. Just come down the aisle as Chris leads us in this song and just let me know that's what you're wanting to do. And just obey the Lord and whatever He tells you as Chris leads us.